The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A very happy Christmas Eve, a happy Hanukkah Eve, whichever you celebrate. Happy holidays. Josh Appel, Stephen Gonzalez in for Hawk, Crowder, Solana, and Jimmy. Jimmy will be with Stephen and I on Thursday, and the rest of the crew will be back with you at 2 o'clock on Friday. Thanks to Mike Cugno, CBS4, for joining us in the last segment. Got some great stuff, as always, from Cugno. We'll revisit a classic interview with Tim Allen from Hawk and Crowder in the next segment. And then at the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Westwood One's college football play-by-play voice, Nate Gatter, get his thoughts on the college football playoff. But here, it's time for 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. So as we talked about with Mike Cugno, the Dolphins will know whether or not they're still playing for something before they take the field on Sunday in Cleveland, because both the Chargers and the Broncos play on Saturday. The Chargers face the Patriots, and the Broncos face the Bengals. It's been said ad nauseum, but if you need a reminder, the Dolphins need either the Broncos to lose both their final two games or the Chargers to lose their final two games, and pair that with one Indianapolis Colts loss. And obviously the Dolphins have to win out to make the postseason. But I think it was encouraging that the Dolphins weren't looking ahead to potential offseason trips in the Bahamas or wherever they're going to go in the offseason, whenever their season ends. They played a good game on Sunday. The running game looked as good as it has really since last season. The defense played well. They haven't created a lot of turnovers this year, but they got a huge takeaway from Kader Kohu there at the end. And then Chop Robinson was able to force another sack. And one of the plays that we didn't talk about with Mike Cugno in praising Chop Robinson, there was a drive for the 49ers that ended in a field goal because Chop Robinson deflected a pass at the line of scrimmage that was intended for a wide open George Kittle in the end zone. Chop got to the quarterback late, but made a huge play with a tip at the line earlier in the game. And I was thinking too, we were talking about Calais Campbell, you know, kind of what a shame it is that, you know, if the Dolphins don't end up with this miracle entry into the playoffs, you know, they're wasting a really good year from the 38-year-old Calais Campbell. And it would have been really cool if he could have gone on a Super Bowl run down here with the Dolphins, of course, being that he played his college ball for the University of Miami. And this feels like another one of those seasons of what could have been for the Dolphins, right? We get this false hope win on Sunday. We know when this team is fully healthy that they are at worst a playoff team. Whether or not they're a playoff team that's equipped to make a run and go on the road and beat all these teams, I think we know they're not built that way. But I think we know that when they are right, they are a playoff team. And it's unfortunate that we'll look back at that four-game stretch without Tua Tagovailoa. We'll look at those two games against Arizona and Buffalo and think, man, if one of those games go differently, this team's into the postseason most likely for the third season in a row. It's frustrating. the what could have beens are so frustrating. And it's partly why, in thinking about it more, I agree with Hawk yesterday. I think Chris Greer is coming back next year. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's probably the right decision. As long as he's able to self-reflect and address some of the issues that this team has, whether that's on the interior of the offensive line, aside from Aaron Brewer, whether it's their lack of size on the outside, whether it's just the general level of toughness on the defense. Not that they're not tough, because this conversation around toughness is so nuanced. These guys play in the NFL for a living. They bash their brains in to gain or stop another team from acquiring yardage, right? All these guys are tough. But there's obviously a clear difference when this team goes into Green Bay or when this team faces a team like the Bills or whatever insert X winning team that you want to talk about. It's clear there's a difference. And they've got to get over that hump and meet that moment eventually. And if it doesn't happen next year, then I think we're looking at Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer probably on the way out. But I think as far as going into this offseason, going into next year, I think we're going to see this same regime, these same decision makers remain in place. You look at Tyreek's numbers, he's pushing 2K each of the last 2 years, 1,700 yards each. Looking like he might fall shy of 1,000 yards for this season. Obviously, he's still got a good chance at it, but I mean, for Tyreek, this is his worst full season since his rookie year. A lot of that has to do with his drops. I think it's pretty clear at this point he's playing injured. And I've been a proponent of potentially exploring maybe what you could get for him in the offseason. But if the result of that is him returning, if they don't like what the potential compensation will be great for him, it's not the worst result in the world to have that all-pro, that dynamic of a receiver back on the roster next year. And we mentioned it a little bit with Mike Cugno. If you're going to knock Chris Greer for some of the moves that haven't gone well, then you've got to give him credit for the ones that have. And one of those moves is bringing in Jordan Brooks from Seattle. Now, Brooks, late in the game against the 49ers, suffered a quad injury and a knee injury, did re-enter late. But encouraging news, according to Barry Jackson and the Miami Herald, Brooks said today the injury is nothing serious. He's feeling good. I mean, Brooks is 12th in the league in tackles this year. He's been having the most prolific tackling season by a Dolphin defender since Zach Thomas. And he's only one of 11 NFL players. Only one of the 11 players ahead of him has more tackles for loss and sacks. He has 10 TFLs and 3 sacks. Zach Bond of the Eagles has 11 for a loss and 3.5 sacks. I mean, we mentioned Chop Robinson, 6 sacks the last 8 games. He's third in the NFL with 39 pressures and first in pass rush win rate since week 9. Tied with Micah Parsons for 5th in the NFL in pass rush win rate. A couple of Penn Staters there. You could always see the potential when Chris Greer and the Dolphins drafted him in the first round. And when you think about what a healthy Jalen Phillips, what a healthy Bradley Chubb, and what a healthy Chop Robinson look like trying to rush the quarterback next year, there are a lot of good groups of pass rushers in the NFL. That's got to be in the top 5 when those 3 guys are healthy. And with that, let's get to our headlines here in the 3 o'clock hour with Steven.
All right, headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Packers rout the Saints 34-0, first shutout of the season in the NFL. Saints seemed pretty hard for them to even pick up first downs last night. Pretty rough going.
Yeah, old friend Darren Rizzi. Old friend Darren Rizzi, former Dolphins special teams coach. He's the interim for the Saints. Hasn't playing hard. I mean, I had them in that game against Washington a couple of weeks ago. They almost pulled off that upset, but Going into Green Bay without literally any of your offensive weapons and Spencer Rattler.
Does make me feel a little bit better about the Dolphins, though. It does make me feel a little bit better about that Dolphins
loss. The Dolphins
are
in this weird spot. They're in this weird spot, man.
Going into Green Bay is no easy task. We've seen that.
No.
Christmas Day football on Netflix coming your way tomorrow. Chiefs Steelers, 1 p.m. Ravens Texans, 4:30 p.m. Dolphins will take on the Cleveland Browns this Sunday at 4:05 p.m., trying to keep playoff hopes alive. Bowl game today, the USF Bulls will take on San Jose State in the Hawaii Bowl, 8 p.m.
Canes Bulls will take have the spotlight to themselves.
Yep.
USF plus 3.
Hey, hammer it. The Canes will take on Iowa State in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Yeah. Pop-Tarts Bowl, 3:30 p.m. From Orlando, Camping World Stadium. You can catch all the action here on WQAM. The Miami Heat beat the Brooklyn Nets last night, broke the losing streak. Tyler Hero, one assist shy of his second career triple-double. That doesn't come without bad news, though. Drew Smith, unfortunately, suffered a season-ending torn Achilles tendon in last night's game. That will end his season and will hurt the Heat tremendously, especially on the defensive end. Five-game slate, Christmas Day basketball coming your way tomorrow. Spurs-Knicks, 12 p.m. Timberwolves-Mavericks, 2:30 p.m. 76ers-Celtics, 5 p.m. Lakers-Warriors, 8 p.m. And Nuggets versus Suns at 10:30 p.m. Panthers shut out last night versus the Lightning on home ice. They split the home-and-home series, both teams getting a win on the road. Matthew Tkachuk left the game after a dirty hit. No, that Appel doesn't know.
Pretty rotten Nikita Kucherov.
He did come back later in the game. He's got some time to rest. Cats are off until Saturday, where they take on the Montreal Canadiens at home at 1 p.m. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Weather outside, 76 degrees. Really no chance of rain. Mostly cloudy outside. Rain will be in the forecast for tomorrow, though.
Perfect Christmas weather to stay and watch those Netflix games, watch a couple movies. We're going to fire up The Grinch. We're going to fire up Elf. Maybe a little Home Alone. We'll be locked in the Appel household to these two NFL games on Netflix, which, by the way, if anybody out there thinks that the NFL and Netflix didn't iron out all the mishaps that happened in the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fiasco.
Absolutely.
You're nuts. The NFL will never allow that to happen on their watch. They have ironed out everything. They have come up with every fail-safe to ensure that that won't happen. So we will have, hopefully, uninterrupted Christmas Day NFL football tomorrow. I will not so much as turn on an NBA Christmas game. I will be locked in to the NFL.
That was good. I was going to bring that up. I think that the NBA is in real trouble. They've already been in trouble. Ratings talk going on. Adam Silver's getting some heat. A lot of three-pointers. Not enough action.
I don't know what the answer is. What I do know isn't the answer is, and this is a cliche answer, and I get that this is the normie take, and everybody has this take, but sometimes the answer is right in front of your face. And I think there's a real disconnect between the players in this league and the fans who watch.
Yeah.
When these guys take off so many of these games, they try to address load management through the league office and Adam Silver, but that hasn't really worked. The product just isn't good during the regular season. And like, I don't know if it's an 82-game thing, because hockey's 82 games, and I love the NHL regular season. The NHL regular season is awesome.
It rules. I love it.
the NBA regular season, like, it's almost unwatchable.
Yeah, I'm starting to agree with Charles Barkley saying that the NBA should really consider just starting on Christmas Day. You have a lot of meaningless basketball games that just went down, and I don't think many people even know what the standings look like.
I mean, this is, again, pie in the sky talking, but I wonder if they could work something out where the in-season tournament is like the kickoff to the season.
Yeah.
And like the championship or the semis are on Christmas Eve and Christmas, whatever.
That'd be interesting.
And then they go right into the the main part of the season after that. I don't know what the solution
play
is
the problem. I wouldn't mind watching basketball if, like, yeah, the stars need to be playing in order for play to be good. I understand that part, but I just want the game to kind of go back to what it used to be. I remember, like, growing up watching some real good basketball. Things were going on in the paint. Now it's really just a glorified layup line if they get to if they get in the paint, and then you see a lot of three pointers. That's all it is.
Run. How about we get back to running an offensive set,
right,
and having having a baseline 2-point jump shot from Brian Grant.
You know how many times I've seen a point guard just blow by their defender, ISO at the top of the key, and they just get to walk into the paint. Nobody goes and hacks them, at least nothing. It's like, is that really where we're at?
I miss the 16-foot jumper on the baseline from Udonis Haslem.
Absolutely.
I miss it.
Mid-range game has gone completely away. SGA, I give him a lot of props. He's really commanding the mid-range game, and I like to see him play. I do.
College game, the quality of it is not nearly as good, obviously, as the NBA. It's not really a hot take, but I think the entertainment value, especially in the regular season, blows away the NBA.
The environments are better. Everything is better, except I don't like how they play defense in college basketball. It's kind of just like they're setting traps. It's like kill the man with the basketball.
That makes it more physical.
It is better. It is better than not playing defense.
We've got a best of interview. Tim Allen spoke with Hawk and Crowder in the Christmas spirit. We'll replay that for you next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Arriba, pa' bajo, pa' centro, pa' entro.
Arriba, banana, Rodrigo, arepa.
Hawk and Crowder.
Back on Hawk and Crowder. Josh Appel, Steven Gonzalez in for Hawk, Crowder, Solana, and Jimmy. We'll be with you again on Thursday, and then the regular gang will be back on Friday afternoon with you. Before we get to our best of Tim Allen interview, Mike McDaniel said about 10-15 minutes ago that Bradley Chubb would not be activated for either of these final two games, so his season is done. It never started, but they do expect him healthy in 2025. Kendall Fuller also will be out on Sunday against the Browns. We'll talk more about that in the 4 o'clock hour. But now, some of you might know him as Tim the Toolman Taylor. Younger generations, we know him as the Santa Claus. And since tomorrow's Christmas, it's Christmas Eve, I feel like it's the perfect time to hear from St. Nick. Tim Allen also had a successful career as a stand-up comedian. He joined Hawk and Crowder last year to talk about his success on stage behind a camera.
All right, looking forward to this. We have been so bogged down the last couple of days with Mario Cristobal talk and even today, but Miami Hurricanes talk that we're going to laugh a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll find out. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Tim Allen is a renowned comedian. He's an award-winning actor. So what do you know him? Crowder, if I said to you he's Mike Baxter on Last Man Standing. I don't know if people realize, Last Man Standing on Fox, 9 seasons. Do you know how hard it is for a television show to go 9 seasons? 9th and final season began January of this year.
Yep.
Everyone knows him as Tim the Toolman Taylor from Home Improvement. Buzz Lightyear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the most recent Buzz Lightyear? Toy Story 4 has grossed more than $1 billion worldwide.
Ooh, I know Tim got a good cut.
And then, of course, the movie Santa Claus, which is where Solana really knows him. Wild Hogs. Inexplicably popular movie, in my opinion.
I
know you do.
I
know you do. And Tim Allen is joining us now. Hello, Tim.
Wow, you said everything. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. That's all I got.
I'm
tired of hearing all that stuff.
What are you most known for? When you're walking in an airport, what do you hear most often? Tim the Toolman, Buzz Lightyear.
My kids get that. Yeah, my kids get that. A guy up in Northern California did a show. I don't even know when it was, and a guy couldn't get it right. He's screaming across the street. He goes, "Hey, you, a tool belt."
That's wrong.
He just screamed out tool belt. I get it. If I'm talking, it's Buzz Lightyear. If it's this time of year, it's people go, look, there's Santa. Either way, if people say there's Buzz Lightyear, people think some big old dude swallowed Buzz Lightyear. It's really, you can't do that stuff. That's why the old Warner Brothers cartoon guys were not allowed to do the voice outside of it. Kind of, you know, kills the magic. And then usually, like right now, I'm working this secret project. This is a second season, actually, with Richard Karn. And we were down at a tool and die shop, huge one in L.A., Los Angeles Water and Power. I've never seen a tool shop this big. And these old dudes in there going, you two are just like you were on that show. And then so there's a whole population that grew up with Home Improvement being what you said, Last Man Standing, the love of my life. I love that family. I'm going to see them tonight. We're all having a Christmas party. 9 years, it was an amazing run. Home Improvement, however, that said, Home Improvement, we were doing 19 to 22 million viewers every Tuesday. Those days are over. Nowadays, with streaming and Last Man Standing on a good night with 7 to 9 million, the numbers are incredibly different. The old school television before streaming was like football, like Super Bowl numbers.
And Tim, what's the other side of that? Home Improvement to me. You are like a dad to me. I learned how to damn hammer and stuff. I had to be a man's man like you were. What's the other side of that? What are some of the projects that you look at and just shake your head now?
What still gets me is you got to admire plumbers. I don't get it. You got to get your big ass underneath a sink, and there's always a butt crack showing. There's no way to get around that the trap. I don't understand plumbing because, you know, it's for the weirdest thing. It scares me. I admire the guy my plumber, both at my studio space. I have a big studio. We build hot rods out here in Los Angeles, and we have plumbers. That's the one thing I don't get. It's everything's counter rotation on it, and you got to turn the water off. There's nobody makes this stuff easy for plumbers. There's nothing about getting at that stuff that's easy. So that confuses me. Electronics aren't that. I mean, plugs and stuff kind of scare me.
But why would a handy person get into plumbing? There's a lot of areas to, you know, explore being handy. It's like a guy who goes to medical school becomes a proctologist. I don't understand. There seems to be a lot of easier paths.
I asked I had a racing car accident. I raced for Trans Am for Ford for years, and I got into an accident and wrecked. Hit so hard that I ripped something in my intestines, and I had him. And I call him my ass doctor. And I got to know this guy, and I said, eventually he had so many hands up me. I go, how did you get this gig? How do you pick? You go, you could be a baby doctor, a woman's doctor, but you picked ass. Why did you pick ass doctor? And this dude goes, well, number one, I don't refer to myself as an ass doctor. And he said, when you get, it's called reductionist. You start looking at the intestines, and it's real fascinating what the human intestines will do and process food. So to him, it wasn't about the excrement and all that. It's just how fascinating human beings are. And that was his he loved that. And I said, well, good for you, because I'm glad. Now, could you pull your finger out of there for a minute so I could have a conversation with you?
Right. It's the way that you positioned it. You positioned it as ass doctor. He thought he was, you know, the Van Gogh of medicine. And then
he still does. He does. He doesn't look at my rear end. It's like amazing. I go, okay, good. I'm glad you think it's amazing. Just get the finger out of there for a minute. Is there a way that we could go walk down the street without your finger in there?
All right.
Does he get invited to parties? Do you introduce him?
Yeah. I don't shake. You never shake hands with the proctologist. Or I have a big RV. You never go to an RV park and shake hands. Nobody shakes hands in an RV.
Tim Allen is a Michigan guy. He's a Detroit Lions fan. And as you mentioned, Crowder, he's a man's man.
Yes.
And the Detroit Lions, they've got a head coach who is a man's man, Dan Campbell. That is a man's man. Did you play for Dan? Was he?
No, played against him.
You played against him.
He was with the Lions actually playing when I was with the Dolphins.
I got you. And then he came. He coached the Dolphins on an interim basis for
How do you do it? See, this is I get this. I've been going through this. Get in trouble with the Lions organization sometimes. I've been watching with my uncle since I was a kid at Briggs Stadium. Lem Barney was my hero. This is a guy that played for the Lions. Mike Lucci, Alex Karras. I remember some of this when the Lions were always 5-5. You go to their stadium, and there's a couple of banners that I always make fun of. 50, 53, 54, and 55. That's what's in the stadium. And I told the Lions, you should just pull those banners down. All it does is it shows an empty space. This is incredible. And one time, what would you do to help the Lions? I said, here's what I'd do. I'd quit for the year and go sit in the Patriots stadium and just watch a team that wins, and maybe you get the idea. Because they've been losing so long, they don't know what it's like. Even when they win, they go, oh, my God, this is uncomfortable. Quick, somebody fumble.
So you would take an entire year off from playing
and
football.
Just watch a winning team.
Which
go
is almost what they
team.
Did this year. They almost took a year. But they won Sunday, so you have to be excited about your
Detroit
Lions.
More embarrassing than that was I can't remember the coach's name, was on one of the Fox shows. My wife and her family are Steeler fans, so it's incredibly opposite. They don't win by enough. Oh hell, we only won by 12. Anyway, so I've sent her to 3 Super Bowls. I've never been near a Super Bowl.
You follow all the teams, Tim. You're a Tigers fan. You're a Pistons fan. I know
you know,
said
really
you're in
LA. I like baseball kind of, except I played it when I was in high school or junior high school. It's like people in there are animals. For some reason, it's the outfits that bother me. It looks like everybody's in PJs. I don't know. There's something about that. There's something about that. I'm really, what I did is once I got one of my neighbors got me into hockey a long time ago. We played, my family's from Colorado. And we moved here after my father passed away or when I was a kid and moved back to Detroit. I like the Red Wings. Hockey in person is one of the most exciting things to watch. But in person, you got to see it, how athletic these dudes are and what they're doing. And then the entire thing is on ice skates. You go, man, this is an incredibly weird sport. So I kind of hockey. I love auto racing and I love football. And lately, I've been loving high school football in Los Angeles. You go and you see. I think, is there 5 McGregors on this team? Because it's McGregor, caught the pass, McGregor for that tackle, McGregor at center. I go, is it a whole family of McGregors? I go, no, it's just one guy that's really good. And I love a high school team where a guy plays offense and defense. It means it's really football at its best compared to the NFL right now. But I love NFL. I love the drama of it.
Crowder asked you about sports, and you mentioned manly sports. You're a man's man. Like, everybody knows this about Tim Allen. Have you met Dan Campbell? Because I'm telling you, he's a man's man. I could picture you guys getting together and just punching each other in the face.
Well, I took a shot at him. But he's faster than he looks.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the game, and normally they let me on the field, but because of this, there's apparently some virus going around, and they wouldn't allow us. We had to sit in a little section, even on the field. I go down to the field, and up until this year, or last year even, I was able to go and talk to the coaches and everything. You know who was cool is Caldwell. That was one of my favorite guys when he was the coach. He was really the funniest guy because he always had that grumpy look on the sidelines, and he told me, that's just a look, man. I can't look like – and he has a great smile. He goes, this looks like I don't know what I'm doing, so I got to go to that serious look. And I thought he was cool. Every record you don't want, the Lions have. Most punts in a game, biggest comeback, Washington Redskins. I was there with my buddies. I think it was 34-0. And we're all drinking up in the stands when I drank. And they said, yay! And I go, let's not so fast. Cut to 35-34, Washington beat us. And we stood there in the stands, I think, for 3 hours, just open mouthed. How did we lose that? Every different kind of loss you don't want. What is it? The Calvin Johnson rule, isn't it? He caught it, won in the end zone, we're going to playoffs, and a real late call. He didn't hold the ball long enough. What the hell was that?
I mean, this guy's a long-suffering
yes.
Detroit Lions fan. I'm thinking back to the days of Wayne Fonts. I mean, this guy's been through it all. Poor Tim Allen.
One of the coaches used to say, we're going to do it the old-fashioned way at the Lions. We're going to use legal pads. That was actually a coach. What? They're not going to run stuff down with that stupid stuff called radios. We're going to run things down in a legal pad the old way. We're going to use defense. What the hell? We're going to use leather helmets and ride horses to the stadium.
I don't think that's going to work, Tim. It's not going to work. Hey, man, you're hilarious. Like, I, you know, first time talking to you, you're a funny guy. Are you always on? Like, does it, you know, as a comedian, does it get annoying that people expect to walk up and start laughing when you talk?
Well, unfortunately, I am always on at the inappropriate times. My old man was killed when I was a kid, and I'm doing jokes at the funeral. I can't stop. It's a defensive maneuver. Sometimes it's appropriate, and sometimes it's not. We go to church a lot, and I'll take shots at the priest. You know, when he's doing this long sermon. I'm going, yeah, like you know. And my wife's going, would you shut up?
Whatever it is, it's worked for you. It has worked for you. You can't argue it.
It's worked for me. It's my kid, my youngest kid. Now she looks at me. She goes, Dad, that didn't land. So it's nuts. I go, wait a minute. You're telling me, and she's right. I said, yeah, I got to work through this. Sometimes it's practice. Sometimes you got to take a shot.
Guy's movies have grossed billions of dollars worldwide. He's got several hit shows, and the daughter is saying that didn't land.
That didn't land, yeah.
What a cutting comment from someone. One of the things that we talk about on this show all the time is food. We talk a lot of sports. We talk a lot of food. I'm from Chicago originally, and I am partial to Chicago deep dish pizza. I think it is the premier style of pizza in the world. Now, Detroit pizza all of a sudden is on the come up of Pizza Hut and their version of Detroit pizza. What is the best pizza in the world? You've lived and traveled everywhere. What is the best form of pizza?
I can't give up the brand because I don't know the name of guy. I've done two movies and spent a lot of time in New York City. And sometimes I know it's a place in Brooklyn. I believe it's a place in Brooklyn. It looks just like a corner place. I will give New York this. A lot of problems in New York. It's difficult to get bad food in New York. I don't even – street vendors, the crap is better than every place else. This place in Brooklyn, just a place you pop in, the thin crust pizza with some sausage, peppers, and something else on it, it was – every bite was amazing. And it was, I'm not a huge fan of deep dish or the Detroit style or Chicago for that matter. I like thin crust pizza, but they do it out of their left ear in New York better than any place else. But you got to go to a place, people know where it is, but it was someplace in Brooklyn. And I said, so it looks like a corner store, it's nothing. Literally, whatever the sauce, the everything about the thing was absolutely the best.
Wow, I did not expect that. I expected a man that was going to be true to Detroit and would sing the praises of it. I mean, we always get something interesting on our interviews because I did not see that left turn coming.
Well, I've traveled to so many places like that you can't get out of Philly with a cheesesteak. I mean, I can't believe they can't make that sandwich any place else in the world except in Philadelphia, and you got to eat it at the place. I think it's Jimmy's or something.
Jim's.
You take four steps out of that stupid restaurant, and it's horrible. I took it back to the hotel to watch a football game in Philadelphia, and I go, I love that town, by the way. And I go, and I get out of there, and so you got to eat it in line. And then it's like the best sandwich to me, the best sandwich ever outside of, get this, if you go to Germany, eat a hot dog in Germany, and you go, yeah, they freaking invented this. Anything that's shoved into an animal casing, the Germans invented. And then you go to Paris, you can eat all that liver you want, but on the street they have this crispy bread with butter and ham. That's it that's on the sandwich. And you go, that can't be good. Best thing I've ever eaten. I mean, that I don't know what. The simple street food in those two countries, but I'll tell you,
Jim's on South Street.
And then down someplace in Florida, there's the Cuban pork sandwiches.
I'm almost embarrassed to say this. We're running out of time. But Crowder, big, strong football player here, starting linebacker for a number of years for the Miami Dolphins. And Tim Allen, man's man. Crowder, a few months ago, became vegan. And every time you talk about sausage on the pizza and animal casings, like, I love it. And I don't know what happened to Crowder. And I'm wondering if in 30 seconds you could turn him into a man again.
No, because, listen, I went down to my butcher. I'm watching my Sunday game. My wife and kid were gone. The older one's gone anyway. But I go down to the butcher. I'm getting I like ground, get this, a ground New York strip steak. Usually they won't do it. best hamburger you're ever going to eat.
Wow.
Salt and pepper. I go there and I go, what is that impossible stuff? And he goes, no one brings it back. Like, that's his sales to it. So I fried it up, an impossible burger, in a metal fry pan or a iron skillet, salt and pepper, brioche bun, a spicy pickle. That's it. I took a bite of that during the Skins were playing the Dallas Cowboys. Blah, bore, bore, bore. And anyway, I'm watching this. I took out two bites of it. Literally one of the best hamburgers I've ever eaten.
Oh,
I can't believe I'm saying it. That impossible burger, I don't think they're any better for you than hamburgers. However, I just tried it. So I got vegans. I mean, I live in the People's Republic of California. Everybody's a vegan here. Everybody eats brick or paper clips. I don't know what they eat here.
What has happened here to Tim Allen?
We're going to live forever.
No.
I don't understand what's happened here.
I like a hamburger every now and then. And I'll give you this. My buddy who's Mr. Vegan, there's vegan restaurants here that I can't tell what I'm eating. I don't care. They have these nachos made out of almond and, raccoon eyes. I don't even know what's in the thing. And it's... Literally, I said, if these nachos, I don't care what's in them, they were as good as I've ever eaten.
Oh, no.
That being said, sometimes this vegan stuff is twice the calories and twice the fat, so be very careful about what you say.
I mean, is it Tim the Tool Man Taylor? Is it Tim the Tofu Man Taylor? What's happened here at the end?
I eat what's good. They're making some plant-based stuff that's okay. I'm just saying he's a linebacker. You don't want to mess with him.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that part of it. But I don't look at him. I don't look at him the same way after he brings in his little tofu and seaweed snacks.
You ask smart people a question, they give you their answer, and you criticize their answer.
Because the answer's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's just wrong.
You guys just got to settle down and take this stuff outside.
All right, fair enough. That one I'm going to lose. Tim Allen, thank you for making time for us, Tim. We genuinely appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys very much.
Tim Allen there. Unbelievable. Same thing happened with Kendrick Perkins.
Yep.
When I thought at the end of the interview, and I'd bring up your veganism, where Kendrick Perkins was going to rip you a new one, and all of a sudden Kendrick Perkins was like, I think I'm going to become a vegan too.
He's about to come to the good side.
What has happened here?
You're on
the
island.
Whole world is upside down.
You might be on this old man island.
He's older than me.
He jumped off the old man island.
What has happened here? All right, Tim Allen.
Hey, there's an extra ship if you want
to. Nope. That was fun. I enjoyed talking to him. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This is how we do it.
Cooler!
Hawk and Crowder.